And so I wanted to come to you tonight, assuming that maybe you all struggle with the same kinds of things, maybe to a lesser degree than I do, but I hope that I can give you some encouragement tonight from God's Word in Luke 11 on encouragements to prayer. And the question I want to ask is, does God want us to pray? Does He want us to pray? You know, sometimes we can talk to each other and say things like, if you need anything, just ask. And that's just a way of being polite with one another. Rarely do we take one another up on that kind of invitation. And so whenever we come to God's Word, we can sort of think the same thing. Yeah, God gives us permission to pray, but does He really want us to pray? Or if we come into His presence, if we pray to Him, would it be seen as a sort of inconvenience? Does God really want us to pray? Well, I want to focus on that question tonight in Luke chapter 11. We're going to read verses 1 through 13. And I'll read from the English Standard Version. These are the words of God. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when He finished, one of His disciples said to Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. And He said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not give up and give him anything, because he is a friend. Yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Pray with me. Father, we come now at the close of this day that You've given us, and we come now asking that You would bless the reading and the preaching and the hearing of Your Word. We pray, Lord, that You would open our minds, open our hearts, that You would seal these great truths in our hearts, that it might produce much fruit in our lives. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Does God want us to pray? That's the big question I want to ask and answer tonight. And I want to answer that big question by asking 3 smaller questions. Okay? So the first question, the first smaller question is, does God teach us to pray? Does God teach us to pray? And the answer is, yes, He does. We saw this, for example, in verses 1 through 4. God teaches us to pray. Now, we're not going to look at this prayer, this Lord's Prayer in detail. But one of the implications I want to draw from this fact that God teaches us to pray is that we need to learn how to pray. We need to learn how to pray. And there's 3 reasons why we need to learn how to pray. The first reason is that we're naturally alienated from God. You know, whenever we're born, after the fall, we are born sinners, which means in part that we are born alienated from God. So communication with God, talking with God, is the most unnatural thing for a human being. In the sense that when a human being seeks to come into God's presence, everything in his sinful nature screams no. Think of Adam and Eve in the garden. After the fall, when God comes to them in the garden and says, "Adam, where are you?" Did Adam and Eve come running out to embrace God? Of course not. We see them hidden in the trees, scared to come. And because we have all descended from Adam and Eve, we inherit that corruption. We inherit that alienation. And so it doesn't come natural to us. Even for us who are born again, even for us who are God's children by the blood of Christ, whenever you come here on the Lord's Day, you have to be called into His presence, but with a call to worship. Because there's still so much in our flesh that says, don't go into God's presence. It's unnatural for us because we're naturally alienated from God. Another reason that we need to learn how to pray, we naturally desire the wrong things. You know, that's one of the things that I think Jesus is doing here in this Lord's Prayer. He's not only giving this prayer to express our desires, He's giving us this prayer to help shape our desires. You see, we naturally desire the wrong things. We're naturally self-centered, self-focused, self-serving, self-interested. And so Jesus says, I want to give you a prayer that as you pray it, and as you use it as a model for prayer, it's going to reshape and refashion your desires so that the first thing that you care about is God and His name and His kingdom and His righteousness. And then, of course, you ask for your daily bread. You ask for forgiveness and these things. But we need to learn how to pray because we naturally desire the wrong things. Another reason that we need to learn how to pray is that we now have a new relationship with God. I think that's what we see here in verse 1. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he'd finished praying, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray." In other words, the disciples come to Jesus. Now remember, these are Jewish men. They knew about prayer. They probably prayed every day. They experienced it every day. But they come to Jesus and say, Jesus, John's disciples, they've been taught a way to pray that's sort of fitting with their relationship to John the Baptist. Well, we belong to you. We're your followers. And we see the way you pray to God and you call Him Father. And can you teach us to pray? We need a prayer that's fitting for us because we belong to you. We're different. As Christians, we're different. We have a new relationship with God, and because of that, we need to learn how to pray. And so Jesus tells us whenever we pray, we say, Father. That's something that only we, as those who have been purchased by the blood of Christ, can call God. He's our Father. Our Father in heaven. Does God teach us how to pray? Yes, we see that here in verses 1 through 4. Now, I think that reveals to us something about the heart of God. You may have children who come to you, parents, and your children want you to teach them certain things. I have two 13-year-old daughters, and they've come to me recently and said, Dad, teach us how to drive. And my answer is, not on your life. No, not now. It's just too dangerous. And I'm not ready for that. They're still my little girls. But or some of you may have you know, imagine a small child, a two-year-old child coming to you and say, Mommy, Daddy, will you teach me how to cut vegetables with this sharp knife? Now, you may hold the child's hand and kind of help them, but you're not going to leave them there. You know, you're not going to do that because it's dangerous. But let's say you have one of your children come to you and say, Mom, Dad, will you teach me how to make my bed? Now, use your imaginations. I don't. Of course you're going to do that. Why? Because that's something you want your child to do. You see, the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, comes to us and He takes the time to teach us how to pray, I think that shows us something about the heart of God and what He wants concerning us in our prayer life. So because God teaches us to pray, I think there's two brief little lessons we can learn from this. And the first is that we can learn how to pray. We can learn how to pray. And the reason we can is not just because we can acquire more knowledge and things of this nature, but the main reason we can learn how to pray is because the Holy Spirit's living in us. And the Holy Spirit's the one who teaches us to pray. He's the one, in fact, who prays in us and through us. Paul says in Romans 8:15, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." You see, it's by the Holy Spirit that we can learn how to pray. And also, I think another brief lesson we can learn from this fact is that we can progress in our prayer life. I mean, think of these disciples. They're coming to Jesus saying, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And then a few years later, see them in the book of Acts. Have they learned how to pray? You better believe it. I mean, they're turning the world upside down by their prayers. They're calling down the power of God by their prayers. They're converting nations by their prayers. They've learned how to pray. Well, friends, I think the same thing holds true for us. We can learn how to pray, and we can progress in our ability to pray, chiefly because of the Holy Spirit and His ministry to us. Well, that's the first question I wanted to ask. Does God teach us to pray? Yes, He does. Second question, does God command us to pray? Does God command us to pray? Again, the answer is yes, He does. He commands us. He graciously invites us to pray. And we see this, for example, in verses 9 through 10. Jesus has just told this brief little parable, and then He draws a conclusion, and He says in verse 9, "And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." He's inviting us. He's commanding us to pray. And He's compounding metaphors, right? I mean, He's pulling together different language, and He says, ask, seek, knock. He's using all these different words to communicate to us the fact that He wants us to pray. He's inviting us to pray. He's commanding us to pray. You know, I think some of us, whenever we think about God and coming into His presence in prayer, we can think about God as being like the Wizard of Oz. You've all seen the movie. And so we come trembling down the hallway to God's presence. And who goes there? And we can think about God in that way. But you know, the truth is, if God were that way towards us, that would be unbelievably gracious. Because you and I, we don't deserve that. The only thing we deserve from God is His condemnation. If God were like that, if He were like the Wizard of Oz, where we could come into His presence, but it was a fearful thing, and He just tolerated us for a brief moment, if He allowed that for us, that would be unbelievably gracious. Because none of us deserve that. But the fact is, God is not like that. It's unbelievable. He wants us to come into His presence. He invites us to come into His presence. He commands us to come into His presence. It's almost like He enjoys being with us. Now that should blow your mind. That the Creator of heaven and earth, the God who's holy, 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 looks at you and He looks at me and all of our failures and all of our weakness and all of our sins and all of our faithlessness, and He says, "I want you to come to Me continually. Be close to Me. Pray to Me." This is the God we serve. He commands us to pray. I want to read some passages from Scripture, just brief passages on prayer. 1 Peter 3:12. Peter's quoting Psalm 34, but 1 Peter 3:12. Peter says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayer." God's ears are open to your prayer. Psalm 65, verse 1 and 2. Praise is due to you, O God in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you shall all flesh come. God desires our prayer so much, He calls Himself here the God who hears prayer. That's the way He wants us to understand Him, Psalm 65, 1. Psalm 14, 4. Listen to the way evildoers are described. Have they no knowledge? All the evildoers who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord? It's a mark of an evildoer to not call upon the name of the Lord, but that means that one of the marks of being a child of God is what? That we call on the name of the Lord. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. In everything, all the details of your life, all the anxieties, all the fears, all the struggles, all the temptations, let everything be made known to God by prayer. Listen to these promises. Matthew 21:22. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. John 14:13-14. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. John 15:7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. John 15:16. Lastly, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give it to you. These are bold promises. Open-ended promises, it seems, that Jesus gives to His people. Now, why didn't Jesus bring balance to these statements? Why didn't He immediately qualify Himself when He gave these broad promises? I want to read a quote from Paul Miller. He wrote a book called A Praying Life. And I think some of you in the church may be going through that as in a group book study. Listen to this quote. Why didn't Jesus bring balance to these statements? He says, I think the answer is, we are not balanced. Instinctively, we're either confident in ourselves or despairing in ourselves. In both cases, we're paralyzed, not moving towards God. Like a parent whose toddler is about to wander off, Jesus is yelling, my Father has a big heart. He loves the details of your life. Tell Him what you need and He'll do it for you. Jesus wants us to tap into the generous heart of His Father. When it comes to prayer, the great danger that Jesus sees, it seems to me, is that we won't ask. We won't pray. And in not asking, in not praying, what that does is it keeps us away from God. It keeps us distant from God. Paul Miller talks about two ditches, and I want to talk briefly about these two ditches that we have to avoid when it comes to prayer and asking. And these two ditches are found in James chapter 4, verses 2 through 3. And you know this passage. James says in James 4, 2, you do not have. Why? Because you do not ask. But then in verse 3, he says, you ask and don't receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. And so Paul Miller says, okay, there's two ditches that we need to avoid in the Christian life when it comes to prayer. The first ditch over here is not asking. It's not asking. You have not because you ask not. We need to avoid that ditch. But over here on this side of the road, there's another ditch and that's asking selfishly. You ask, but you don't receive, because when you ask wrongly, is what James says. So here's these two ditches, not asking at all, or asking selfishly. Well, how do we steer clear of these ditches and drive down the road in prayer? Well, over here, the antidote for not asking is ask boldly. Ask boldly. Let God know all the requests, all the concerns that you have. Bring every request, every concern that you have to God. Ask boldly. And be bold in your prayers. He encourages us to be bold in our prayers. So the antidote over here is to ask boldly. The antidote over here is to surrender completely. So yes, we bring all of our requests to God. We ask boldly, but like Jesus in the garden, he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. And so we surrender completely. That keeps us from asking selfishly. Well, does God want us to pray? Well, we've seen that he certainly commands us to pray. So there's a third and final question I want to ask. Does God encourage us to pray? Does God encourage us to pray? And again, the answer is yes. He encourages us to pray. And we see this in verses 5 through 13. And the way God encourages us to pray here is two ways. The first way he encourages us to pray is that he shows us that he delights to hear our prayers. He delights, he enjoys to hear our prayers. And I get this from the parable that he tells in verses 5 through 8. Let's look at that parable again just to refresh our memory. Jesus says, "Then he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs." This parable teaches us that God delights to hear our prayers. That's the first way he encourages us. He tells us that he delights to hear our prayers. And the way I see that is this. The man without bread in the parable represents the disciples. And by extension, he represents you and me. And we know this from the question in verse 5, where Jesus says, "Which of you disciples who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him?" So Jesus is inviting his disciples to identify themselves with this man who needs bread. And us, he's inviting us to identify ourselves as this man who needs bread. But this means also that the irritated man in the parable, he stands for God. But the point is not comparison, the point is contrast. The man in the parable is irritated because the friend's asking for bread. But the point Jesus is making is God's not like that. Because we see that in verse 9. After the parable, Jesus said, "I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find." And this contrast is continued on through verse 13. "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give?" If this irritated man, if this stingy man will give something when asked, the implication is, how much more will your Heavenly Father, the Father of mercies, the one who loves you with an everlasting love, how much more will he give you good things when you ask? The point here, Jesus, our God the Father, and of course Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, delight to hear our prayers. Two lessons from that. We should ask boldly. We should ask boldly. And I get this from verse 8, where we're told that though he will not give him anything because he's his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will give him whatever he asks. And that word impudence is where I get this lesson that we should ask boldly. Because impudence means without shame, without modesty. King James Version says, for this word impudence, it says importunity, which is a persistent demanding. Another translation says persistence. Another translation, the older NIV, says boldness. The newer NIV says shameless audacity. This is the only occurrence of this particular word in the New Testament. But in secular literature, it was used, and it meant without respect, without modesty, shamelessly bold. The point is, this neighbor is shamelessly bold. He has a need. And he doesn't care about manners. He doesn't care about respect. He doesn't care about social custom. He doesn't care that his friends are asleep at midnight. He has a need. And so he's going to be bold in his request. He's bold. And so we too can be bold in our request. We should ask boldly. The second lesson from this, we should ask persistently. We should ask persistently. You know, sometimes if you're like me, you ask one time, three times, five times. But God wants us to be persistent in our prayer, sometimes for years, sometimes for decades. He wants us to be like Jacob and wrestle with Him in prayer. And the reason I say that we should ask persistently is in the first place because that word, impudence, is also another way of understanding that is persistence. But also in verses 9 through 10, when Jesus says, ask, seek, knock, a literal translation would be ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. The idea is that it's a present, continual, ongoing thing that Jesus is calling us to do. Not knock one time and then leave, but keep on knocking. Be persistent. Persist with God in prayer. Don't give up on praying for your loved one who doesn't know the Lord. Be persistent in prayer. Don't give up on praying for healing for yourself or for a family member or a friend. Be persistent in your prayer. Don't give up. Wrestle with God all night, all morning, even if He touches the socket of your hip and you have to walk with a limp for the rest of your life. Don't give up in prayer. Be persistent. Be persistent. Well, God encourages us to pray because He shows us in the first place He delights to hear our prayers. But He also shows us here that He promises to answer our prayers well. That's the second encouragement. That's the second way He encourages us. And we see this in verses 11 through 13. Jesus says, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? The way God encourages us here is that He tells us that He will answer our prayers well. He will answer our prayers well. And this means two things. It means on the one hand that God knows how to give good gifts, and He does give good gifts. James 1:17, every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Every good gift that we enjoy, it comes from Him. Every good gift that we enjoy, it comes from God already. How many of you prayed that the Lord would let the sun rise this morning? How many of y'all prayed to get to church safely here tonight? Maybe some of you. How many good gifts do you enjoy every day that you never asked for? Health, food. I mean, you can name them, hundreds and hundreds of good things. The reason you're getting those good things is because you have a good God. And He knows how to give good gifts. And if He knows how to give good gifts, even when you don't ask, how much more will He give good gifts to those who ask? So on the one hand, he knows how to give good gifts. On the other hand, he knows how to withhold bad gifts. And this is where I think we really need to understand. Because we ask God, and sometimes we ask boldly, and God doesn't give us what we ask. And we can be prone to think that we've really asked God for a fish, we've asked God for an egg, and He's giving us a serpent. He's giving us a scorpion. But that's a wrong way to think. If there's something that you've been asking for and God hasn't given it to you yet, it may not be that that thing's not good, but it may mean that that thing is not good for you right now. He knows how to withhold gifts when it's not appropriate to give them. Psalm 84:10, "For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor." Now listen to this. "No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly." Christian, does God withhold any good thing from you? Absolutely not. So what that means is that if you don't have something that you've been asking for right now, that's not a good thing. We don't understand that. We're not God. God doesn't withhold any good thing from us. Now that doesn't mean we give up prayer. We persist. We be bold in prayer, right? But at the same time, we ask boldly, but we surrender completely. We say, God, you know better. You're wise. You're sovereign. And if I haven't received this thing yet, whatever it is, I surrender completely. Because I know one thing is true. You don't withhold any good gift from your children. I'm not missing out on anything in my life. Because you're a good God. And you don't withhold any good thing. So does God encourage us to pray? Yes, we saw that here. He shows us that He delights to hear our prayers and He promises to answer them well. So now we come back to that question. Does God want us to pray? And I think the answer is yes. He wants us to pray. He wants you and I to come into His presence and pray. To talk with Him, to communicate with Him. And so with that, I want to leave you with two takeaways. How can we apply this to our lives? Throughout the day, tomorrow, this week, the coming weeks, throughout the day, turn your thought life into your prayer life. Your mind's always you're always thinking about something. Turn those thoughts into prayers. If they're fears, do your fearing before the Lord and say, God, this is something I'm afraid of. Will you help me with this? If it's something you're anxious about, do that before the Lord. If it's something that's tempting you, if it's a particular sin, do that before the Lord and say, God, here's this temptation. Maybe it's a good thing that you're enjoying. Let that thought turn you towards God in praise and thanksgiving. Lord, thank you for this weather. Thank you for this sunrise. Thank you for this food. Turn your thought life throughout the day into your prayer life. God wants you to pray. Because He wants to have a closer, deeper, fuller relationship with you. And so turn your thought life into your prayer life. That's one takeaway I want to leave you with. And here's the last one. Pray for the one thing that God always gives. There's one prayer from this passage that we see God always answers. And if you pray this prayer, He will give this to you. And that prayer is here in verse 13. "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" There may be some gifts, there may be some things that God's withholding from you for His good purposes. But He will never withhold Himself from you. And if you say, God, I love gifts and I want gifts, but God, what I really want, what I desire more than anything is you, He answers that prayer. He gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him and gives it in a more full and more complete way, more dynamic way, so that you might grow more and more in your relationship with Him. Does God want us to pray? Absolutely. Let's go to Him now in prayer. What a mighty God we serve. Lord, that You who created the heavens above and the earth beneath, that You who spoke all things into existence by the word of Your power, that You would even tolerate us is unbelievable. But Lord, You do so much more than that. You enjoy us. You delight in us. You delight to be called our God. You enjoy our presence. You enjoy being with us. You enjoy us coming to You with our fears and our worries and our anxieties, with our joys and our concerns and our sins and our temptations. Lord, You delight to hear Your people. You enjoy the prayers of Your people. And we thank You for that. We confess that we don't deserve that kind of love and that kind of just unbelievable grace. So all we can do is just say thank You and ask that You would work this grace in our hearts, that we would be a people who more and more delight to pray to You, that enjoy Your presence, that enjoys talking to You. Lord, we know our own hearts, we know our own flesh, that we are in our own strength unable and unwilling to do this. And so, Lord, we pray that You, by Your Holy Spirit, would work this in us. And so that each day, each moment, we would be moving closer and closer to You, to enjoying You more and glorifying You more. And we ask that You would do this great work in us for Christ's sake. Amen.